Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Truly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Do you know who said that? The Lord Jesus Himself. This is a verse we don't hear very often today. Jesus' words often run contrary to our own beliefs, and they also run contrary to our own desires. We want to be rich. In fact, it's one of the main driving forces in our society, both outside the church and inside the church. So these words of Jesus are not exactly what we want to hear. So we avoid the Word of God, or we accumulate teachers to ourselves who will tell us what we want to hear. That it's fine to love the world and love God, that we can seek all the things of the world and still have the Lord, that we can love money and love God too. How contrary to the Word of God this is, which says you cannot love God and money. All these things are covered under the heading of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, because the root of all stealing is the love of money. Stay tuned while we explore this pertinent topic right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're going through the Ten Commandments as part of a study on the book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. This Narrow Gate book gives us the clear perspective of historical Christianity, particularly as seen in the Reformation and in the Puritans of old. When Jeremiah said to return to the ancient paths where the good way was, he was not kidding. We see such solid biblical teaching in the Puritans, both in England and in America. It is good medicine for many of the ills of the modern church. In last week's lesson, we covered the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. We address the importance of not being slack in our work. We are to labor as unto the Lord, even if our boss is mean or overbearing, or we feel like we are underpaid. We find that if we do work heartily as unto the Lord and trust ourselves into His care, that a wonderful law of God kicks in, which is that God Himself will pay us what is right. He will make up for any shortfall. This gives us great freedom to work without complaining or worrying about ourselves. I'm going to give three examples of this awesome principle in history and in God's Word. When the Jews were reduced to slavery during their time in Egypt, they worked long and difficult hours without pay. That mistreatment came up before the Lord, and He sent Moses to set them free. But before they left the land, God did an amazing thing. He had all the Egyptians give the Jews gold, silver, and precious stones as repayment for all of their labors. God did not forget. That's found in Exodus 12, 35. A little before that, Jacob had worked for his uncle Laban, and he was treated unfairly and cheated out of his wages many times. But despite this, he continued serving him without complaint. Finally, the time came for him to depart back to the land of Canaan. But before he did, God supernaturally blessed his herds and his flocks so that all of his cheated wages were made up. Isn't that a great example of God's justice? And then we find right in our own time that we have also seen this principle demonstrated clearly. When Nazi Germany sought to annihilate the Jews, they first confiscated their property. Many were prosperous merchants, so the plunder was vast. Despite Hitler's plans, God's plan was to free his people and give them their own land again. This was accomplished on May 14, 1948. 50 years later, when all hope was lost of ever recovering the stolen property, God remembered. God kept track of all of their earnings, all the earnings that were honestly gained, and in the 1990s, he began to return it to them and their descendants. Isn't that amazing? How good is God? If you work hard at honest labor, God himself will make sure that you are rewarded. If you have labored, that money is safer with God than if it was in a bank. Now, as we mentioned last lesson, there are probably very few people listening today that would be guilty of armed robbery or breaking and entering into a house. So we think that we have this commandment pretty well under control. However, there are so many ways to steal that are so easy and seem so legitimate that practically everyone falls into the category of breaking this commandment at some point. So we're going to continue to look at the various ways we can break this commandment while we are not assaulting someone. So another way to steal is to pay honest debts in a slow or a grudging manner. When people provide services for us, God expects us to be prompt in paying for those services. Any lack in repayment is stealing, plain and simple. Remember that in any situation where you have received a service from someone and they haven't been paid, that God is on their side. If you don't have the money, as is often the case, your job is to pray earnestly that God will help you to take care of the debt. You'll be surprised at how he will help you. God simply wants you to be honest and concerned about the matter. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't just let it go or forget about it, or we might be guilty of breaking the eighth commandment. Another area that we must be careful of is if you are an employer, there is quite a number of areas which you will have to be very careful about. If in your quest for profit, you grind your employees down to an unfair wage, you'll find yourself contending with God. He may care about you, but he also cares about everyone who works for you. He knows their names, where they live, and all the hardships they may be enduring right now because of you. Consider the words of Job. He says, "If I have despised the claim of my employees when they filed a complaint against me, what then could I do when God arises? When he calls me to account, what answer will I give him? Did not he who made me in the womb also make him the same one fashioned us in the womb. That's Job 31. It is important to remember that God is always on the side of the oppressed. If you are treating your people unfairly, their cries will reach the ears of the Almighty. The God of justice will require fair wages of you. And he also demands prompt payment. Consider the words of Leviticus 19 and Proverbs 3. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say, go and come back tomorrow, and then I will give it when you have it with you. The heart of all God's law is love. If we love those who work for us, we will be glad to give them their wages. We will be happy that we are able to provide work and income for them. Our delight is in caring for others. Job's words are a wonderful reminder that God has placed each one in his position for the good of all. The employer and the employee are the same to him, and he made each one, just as Job so clearly stated. Now here's something else that comes under the commandment, thou shalt not steal, and it is usury. Usury is another area we touched on earlier under the heading of ill-gotten gain. Where the Bible does not prohibit gain through ordinary interest, it does strictly forbid usury. So, what is usury? Well, it's charging an unfair interest rate to someone who is in need. It is using their circumstances to take advantage of them. Usury, not surprisingly, is very common today, and you can read in every investment publication about companies bragging of their exorbitant returns. In almost all cases, the return they promise is built on the conscience-free bilking of the naive. Unsuspecting people purchasing on credit will find, to their dismay, a year later that they have entered the spider's web and can't get out. Their interest rate has gone through the roof without notice, and it's impossible to pay down the balance. So month by month, the users flog money from these unfortunates. But there is a God in heaven, and he is a God of justice. What he says is, he who increases his wealth through interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. That's Proverbs 28:8. God will eventually take back all that in ill-gotten gain and give it to the oppressed again. He will give it to those who will in turn pass it on to the poor. I love how God does that. Something to think about is this. You don't have to be the one flogging the poor with excessive rates. All you have to do is increase your wealth by it. That means if you personally invest in a company that engages in these practices, God will himself take it back from you. So be careful where you invest and be aware that in almost all cases where you're promised a higher than normal return, someone is being taken advantage of, and God himself will balance the scales. Now, here's another area that will make us squirm, and that is robbing from God, stealing from God himself. Malachi 3, 9 and 10 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. There is another form of stealing which is well to avoid, and that is stealing from God himself. God has required from the beginning a portion of the increase from all his people. It is called a tithe or a tenth because it is 10%. That portion is meant to go to God's work and the support of those doing it. In the Old Covenant, it was meant to be dutifully observed, and in the New Covenant, it was upheld by Jesus in Matthew 23:23. Now, if God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, why does he need our tithe? Well, that's a good question. The tithe was ordained by God for us, for our sake, not for his. The giving of the tithe and the offering was a major part of his law and required faith to do it. He went so far as to demand of his people the first fruits of their produce. That meant, after surviving the winter, being reduced to the bottom of the food barrel, using the remainder of their grain for seed, and waiting till the first crops came up, they had to give the very first of their income to God. In order to do that, his people had to become free from the love of money. They could not obey that law unless they first became unattached to their income. They had to literally cast their lives and their concerns into God's hands. In many ways, it was like jumping off a cliff and hoping God's everlasting arms would be there to catch them. It required living in a supernatural dimension. They had to forsake everything that would give them worldly comfort and security, that is, the income that was right in their hands, and look to the dimension of God's word and God's promises. They had to have trust that God's word never fails and that he would surely care for them. According to this word in Malachi 3, he would open the very windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain for those who obeyed. In the New Covenant, we see the same principle exists, except that Jesus opens the door wide to the spirit of the law. The spirit is that we can give freely, for freely it is given to you. That's Matthew 10, verse 8. No longer are we bound by the letter of the law that we must give, but we are given freedom to give without limit and without restraint. Jesus gives us wonderful promises such as Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. As in the case of the Old Testament, stepping out to obey God's word takes faith. Whether we are giving 10% of our paycheck to God's work or going above and beyond by freely and abundantly giving to others, in every case there is a point where we must let go of what we have in our hand to receive our needs being met by God himself. We must enter a new dimension where God and his word is so real that we can freely give away what we have in the total confidence that God will care for all of our needs. As you are in prayer while giving or waiting for God to act, there comes a point where you can almost, as it were, open a door by faith and step out into the real world where God will provide without fail, even when it looks impossible. And this gives us the freedom to obey the heart of the command. The heart of thou shalt not steal is that you no longer want everything for yourself, but you want good for others as well. When you come upon a situation where you can take the best for yourself, God gives us a new heart that can be just as glad that someone else can have it. You take pleasure in their pleasure. Now, with the freedom of Christ, we can joyously give to others instead of taking from them. When we enter that new lifestyle, we are truly born again. We are no longer living for ourselves, but for others. With that change in heart attitude, every one of the things mentioned in this lesson are easily and automatically fulfilled. Now we can gladly obey His word in Proverbs 19:17, "He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his good deed." He who lends to someone who will not be able to repay will be blessed by God Himself. That type of obedience is not possible unless we are first free from the love of money. May the Lord bless you as you seek to have revival permeate every part of your being, that you become free from the love of money, free from greed, that Jesus would be our gold and choice silver to us. We look forward to joining you again next lesson. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.